Wow. All my life I've been called unworthy. Has the enemy ever whispered that into your soul? Unworthy. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. Amen. Amen. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. I've been redeemed. Aren't you glad? Well, that's the good news today. I like the announcement about the snacks, Jay. Bring your own snack. But if your snack looks better than my snack. The Lord knows we need to hear some good news, don't we? Anybody else just want to go rogue and start driving through yards and mowing down every political sign you see? Tired of it. And the TV ads. Oh, thank you, Rodney Davis, for saving our family business. Rodney Davis is all about Rodney Davis. Vote for the fair tax so billionaires will finally pay their fair share. Whatever you do, don't vote for the fair tax. Keep Springfield out of your retirement. Donald Trump has failed this country in this epidemic. Donald Trump has saved thousands of lives in this pandemic. Joe Biden will build back bigger, better, restore the soul of the country. Joe Biden will send this country into a Great Depression like never before. Now, somebody is a dirty, rotten, no good, stinking liar, because they can't all be right. And like me, or like so many, maybe you're thinking, if the other guy wins, meaning the guy other than your guy, if the other guy gets elected Tuesday night, it's over. We're in big trouble. Can I let you in on a little secret? This world's already in big trouble. But I get it. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Absolutely crazy, evil, but listen to me. None of it is a surprise to our God. None of it. The word of the Lord that I'm bringing us to this morning is for somebody today. Somebody uniquely today needs to hear this word of the Lord. I'm reading from the book of Job. And Job's livestock were all, you know, out in the fields. And the Bible says the Sabians attacked and made off with them. And they put the servants to the sword. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from heavens and burned up the sheep and the other servants. And I am the only one who's escaped to tell you. Now, this is starting to sound like 2020, isn't it? It's been one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. Verse 17. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them, and they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on them, and they are dead. All of them. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. If ever there was a time to quit, this was it. If ever there was a time to lose faith in it all, this was it. If ever there was an excuse to bail, to say, that's it, I'm out, this is it, I don't believe in God anymore, I don't believe God's word anymore, I don't believe in nothing, this was it. But at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. Oops. The Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, let's talk about what we've just read. Tragedy after tragedy. Crisis, severe trials, one difficulty coming right after another. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it got worse. And every time, though the scripture for a reason, there's always a reason when the scripture repeats something. Every time, after every one of those messengers that's pointed out that the servant with the horrible news would say this, I alone, I'm the only one who survived. All the others gone, wiped out, but I made it. Just me, but I made it out. When it looked like nobody could, somebody did. And somebody always will. In fact, that's the title of my message this morning. Somebody always will. Did you notice that out of every horrendous trial, somebody made it out to tell the story? And what wipes others out, what causes everybody else a reason to give up and quit, what takes others down, there's always somebody who's going to survive, who's going to come through it and tell the story of how it took them out. It took them out, but I survived. There's always going to be somebody. There always has been. There always will be somebody who makes it through. The devil never has been able to. He never will be able to get all of them. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So you may be going through something right now, and I have no idea what it is. You're going through it. Maybe you're facing things. The enemy is all over you, telling you nobody can make it through this. Nobody else can stand up against what you're standing up against. Nobody can really live the way they ought to live in the middle of what's going on. So why are you even trying? Listen, when nobody could, somebody did. And somebody always will. In the book of Genesis, Satan is presented as a hideous serpent. Clear back at the other end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, he's depicted as the devouring dragon. And that dragon, it says back there, issues forth a flood when he opens his mouth. And I could argue with you that here in 2020, we're at flood stage, aren't we? We're at flood stage. The enemy's flood has come against this world, and particularly against our nation, and all of our families and all of our lives have been affected by it. People this year have suffered more setbacks, and they've had to fight more battles, numerous battles, not just one, but numerous battles. But this and that, at every turn, something's coming up. But somebody has always made it through. They've made it out. And we're here in church this morning in this room as a testimony that we still believe, we're still standing, God is still on his throne, he is our shield and our buckler, and God will get us through if we don't let go of his hand. Now, Isaiah 59, verse 19, talk about the enemy coming in like a flood. It says, at flood stage, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So with smugness and arrogance and conceit, the devil has planned and plotted and schemed all sorts of evil to defeat Christians today. And I'll bet he's just sure that this year, 2020, his evil machinations will defeat us and triumph over us. But apparently he's forgotten that through the ages of the Bible, God says always somebody is going to make it through. What you thought would have taken everybody out, they made it through because of their faith. And the reason I'm preaching this to you this morning is since somebody always will, it ought to be you, right? If somebody's going to make it, it ought to be us, the Christians. So Christians, you ought to make up your mind this morning. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to lay down. I refuse to be a statistic because, you see, with God on my side, I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to survive this, whatever this is. Now, hell's theme song, especially to younger generations, especially in this pandemic, is, hey, everybody's doing it. Everybody's compromising. Everybody's partying. Everybody's doing whatever they can to have a good time in the middle of all this mess. Everybody's living together. Everybody's forgetting those old moral standards. No, that's not true. That's not true. Somebody always will. There's somebody living right. There's somebody who's saying no. There's somebody who's saying, I love Jesus and I want God's will in my life. There's still somebody who wants to live a holy life even in 2020. There's somebody who's saying, no, I'm going to abstain till I get married. It's a lie that everybody's doing. There's somebody who's not. And the devil wants you to think, oh, just throw in the towel and give up on this holiness stuff like everybody else. But he's a liar. And the Bible says he's a liar. And man, the devil hates the Bible. Did you know that? He hates the Bible. And the two books of the Bible that he hates the most are Genesis, because Genesis tells us where he started from. See, after that whole Eden temptation thing, God put him on his belly. God defeated him. See what I did there? Now, when I gave my slides to Miss Peggy, she said, are you sure you want to spell it like that? That's the nicest way anybody's ever called me stupid. So kind. Thought I could not spell defeated. God defeated him. And he had to crawl out of the garden. I kind of enjoy talking about the devil this way. He walked in, but he crawled out. That's how I want him to leave this service this morning. He walked in, but he's going to crawl out because Jesus is Lord. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And the devil hates the last book of the Bible. And I'm just kind of going to beat up on the devil for a few minutes. Is that okay? Because you can't let the devil do all the talking. He gets an advantage if you do that. The Lord knows he doesn't need advantage. So let's trash Satan a little bit this morning. He's not going to win. He doesn't own you. He has no eternal claim on you because God's not through with you yet, as that song said. The devil may show up in your life sometimes all big and bad and bold and ugly, but he's going to crawl out of your path. You know why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are standing in Christ's blood this morning. You're covered by the blood. And in spite of whatever the devil came up with, somebody always did come through. Somebody always will get through by the blood of Christ and by the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, Job, I alone have made it out, the servant said. So the devil hates Genesis, because it tells us where he came from. And he hates the Revelation because it tells us where he's going. The Bible says one angel, not a legion. You know the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. No, one angel. All the hell, all the violence, all the murders, all the rapes, all the disasters, all the abortions come from one being called Satan, the fallen angel Lucifer. But all it's going to take when God finally says, that's enough. It's going to be one angel. One. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. I saw an angel coming down. It says it'll take one chain. Then it says he'll unlock the bottomless pit. So it's going to be one angel with one chain and one key. I wonder if every time the devil hears us unlock our car or our front door, and he hears those keys rattle. I wonder if he has a panic attack, knowing one day there's an angel coming for him with a key. The Bible says that angel's going to unlock the pit and throw the devil down into it. And then I love this, Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, and God cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Don't you ever just want to shut him up? There's coming a day when the accuser, the liar, the deceiver, the voice of temptation will be shut up. And every time you hear your keys rattle, be reminded one day the devil's not only going to have to crawl out, though he walked in, he's going to be thrown into a pit and he's going to be told by Almighty God to shut up. And God's going to do it through one angel with one key. Isn't that great? I don't know what you're going through. But I know this, there are other people going through what you're going through. And some of them are going to make it. But you won't make it. You're not going to survive it if you don't have the right mindset. You see, you got to quit whining and poor mouthing and complaining. because there's always going to be somebody to praise God. God is going to be praised. Even if God takes away everything we've got, you say, oh yeah, preacher, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not easy for me to say, but I have just reached a point in my life where I know nothing can separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus my Lord, so I'm always going to have something to praise my God for. God loves me. Even if I lose my house, my car, everything, he loves me, so I'm going to keep praising God. How about you? Let me tell you something else you may not have considered. The devil can't stop the rapture from taking place. Sorry, old Satan, you're not in control. The rapture is going to take place. God said to Noah, go in. God said to Lazarus, come out. And pretty soon he's about to say to the church, come up. The trumpet of God will sound, and the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain will come up, be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that verse. And what a day that's going to be. Tribulation will be on its way. Antichrist will be set to take over. 666 is coming on the earth. And just when it's all about to break loose, like nobody could, somebody will. Because somebody always has, and we're going to fly up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. And you can laugh at that, and you can make fun of me all you want and mock me and say that's old-timey stuff if you want to, but the Bible says what I'm telling you is true, and one of these days, we're going to wave goodbye to this old world, and I'm ready right now if he wants to come. If he comes today, it won't be cancer that takes you out. It won't be a heart attack that takes you out. It'll be the call of the Father to bring my children home. Somebody will. Not everybody in here is going. Because the Bible says there's wheat and there's tares. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares appeared also. Somebody's going to be living right. Somebody's going to be showing the love of Christ the way they ought to. Somebody's going to have their lamp trimmed and burning bright and ready for the sound of the trumpet. Not everybody, but somebody will. And I intend to be somebody, don't you? I'm going to be one of those somebodies. When you think about how the devil has schemed and all he's done to try to stop God's plan of salvation. Clear back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had a son named Cain. Then they had another son named Abel. And the devil, he knew this prophecy, remember? He shall bruise your head. Through a woman, there was going to be a redeemer, a Messiah, who would crush the serpent's head, God said. The devil knew about that. He began to get all worried and fret and take Xanax and probably start drinking. He came up with a plan to mess up the lineage so the bloodline couldn't produce the Messiah. And he gets into the heart of Cain, and he causes him to kill his brother Abel. And the devil thought, well, okay, that'll do it. But the Bible says Eve had another son named Seth, and the bloodline kept flowing. So now the devil sets his sights on the whole human race. Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God. See, the sons of God is a biblical reference to the fallen angels of God that got thrown out of heaven with Lucifer when he got thrown out of heaven. Well, the sons of God, those fallen angels, had sexual relations with the daughters of men, and they created a freak race of giants, verse 4 says. And then the devil really thought he disrupted the plan of God because he had infiltrated the human race. But God said, no, that's not how this story ends. Somebody will survive. Noah, build an ark. I'm going to have to wipe out the whole human race but your family. I may have just one little family, but I am going to have somebody. And you're going to get into that ark, and you're going to float right out of this cesspool of evil and wickedness to a new world that's clean and fresh. Now, the devil still knows he's got to stop this thing. But about that time, God decides to raise up a special people from which the Redeemer was going to come. Prophecy says it will come from the tribe of Judah. Trouble is, those special people, they are living in slavery to the Egyptians. And God says, I need a deliverer. I need somebody who will go to Egypt and say, let my people go. Now, here's how the devil works. He means to kill all of them. Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. He gets a decree enacted by Pharaoh that says, kill every male baby of the Israelites. Kill them all. Why? Because that race is ultimately going to produce a girl named Mary. So the devil says, I've got to kill them all before she's born. So Pharaoh's decree goes out into effect, goes into effect, and he kills all the male babies who were born, right? No, he didn't get them all. There was one in a little basket that went floating down the river and ended up in the palace. And one day that baby would grow up and walk up to Pharaoh and say, the Lord said, let my people go. Isn't it something how God has always had one who will get out? So now the devil's got to come up with another plan. And he starts talking. I mean, he probably started cussing. He said, I got to devise another plan. So he has his king named Herod many generations later. And the devil can just sense something's about to happen because the bloodline's still intact. So Herod hears about a star that appeared over a manger. And he says, that could be a king who'll take my throne away. So let's kill all the Israelite babies 2 years old and younger. And that started what history calls the slaughter of the innocents. And the wailing of Jewish mothers filled the skies over the Middle East. And the devil laughed, thinking, I got them all this time. But no, remember, one night earlier, an angel showed up and told Joseph, you got to get that little child to safety, take him over to Egypt across the border, and keep that child there until the coast is clear. And by the way, the reason the devil wants to kill all the babies in any for every generation, including this generation, through abortion, is because God, the devil knows that deliverance is coming through the seed, and there will be prophets born, and there will be evangelists born, and he knows God is a good God who wants to bring goodness, good things to the earth. So the devil wants to wipe out the babies for fear that God might bring, use those some baby as his tool of deliverance and goodness. So he wants all the babies aborted. Listen to what Jesus said. Remember, Herod now, he's the one who tried to kill Jesus when he was little. 30 years later, Herod is wondering if Jesus is the prophesied Messiah. And listen to what Jesus says back to him. Go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out demons. I perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, I will be perfected. Tell him, yeah, you tried to kill me way back then when I was just a little baby, but I'm doing God's work today, I'm going to do it tomorrow, and on the third day, I will be perfected. Tell that old fox that I'm doing miracles, I'm healing, I'm doing cures, I'm casting out devils, and if you think that's something, wait until I rise up from the tomb on that third day. I'll bring all kinds of victory and deliverance to the earth. People will rise up in 2020 and praise my name because I'm a risen Lord. You couldn't stop me when I was a little baby, Herod. You sure won't stop me when I rise again. The devil always thought he'd stop God's plan. But every time, one got away, didn't they? One got away. Read the story of Job. After every devastating blow, somebody survived to tell the story. There will never be a time when the devil gets them all. Somebody will come out. Somebody will stand out. Somebody will be a young man or a young woman with character and integrity. There will always be somebody who says, I'm willing to be that one. So sign me up to be that somebody. You know what's worse than being a compromiser? Being someone who thinks you're the only one. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. Remember Elijah sitting under the juniper tree? All pitiful. Remember what he said? Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one still true. I'm the last bastion of holiness on earth. Nobody else is living clean. Next chapter, verse 18. You know what God said? Shut up. What are you talking about? I have 7,000 who have not bowed my knee or bowed their knees to evil. You're not the only one. Peggy and Tim, come and help us close the service. Maybe you are here today because God needed you to hear you're not the only one that still believes in holiness. The devil wants to tell young and old alike this morning. He wants you to believe everybody's letting down. There's no real biblical Christianity left in the world today. They're all living on that broad road. It's not true. They're not all doing it. Somebody's loving the Lord the way they should. There will always be somebody who really loves the Lord. So get over yourself. You're not the Lord's last hope. Quit feeling all pitiful. You know what? If somebody's going to live a clean life for God, just decide it's going to be you if nobody else does, right? Make up your mind this morning. Somebody will. And it might as well be me. You believe that? Years ago, a man named Andre Crouch wrote a song. Said, I've been to a lot of places and I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. Anybody relate to that? But in my lonely hours, yes, in those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I'm still his own. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how heavy the load is you brought in here on your shoulders today. I don't know what you're fearful of for tomorrow or Tuesday and after the election. But I'll tell you this. If you don't let go, God won't let go. And through it all, we can make it. Would you stand together and would you tell us how that chorus goes? Sing it for us.
Through it all, through it all.
Sing it with them, would you?
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God.
I've learned to trust in God. Through it all.
On your word in our lives, we trust your son Jesus, and we trust you. We're going to make it. We're going to get through it all, because God always has somebody who will, and we're going to be that somebody for you, Jesus. That's our prayer, and all of God's people here this morning who believe they're going to make it said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.